graduates, and that's a great report for a graduate. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, and it is true. Most churches do not have, or not don't have what we have here, and God has given us those things to do here. I want to challenge you today to open up the book of James. And what we might do here at the end of the service is have maybe Smitty come down, and we'll just have everybody, just if you want to, come down and just congratulate him as he heads off to the northern states. Winter's probably already on the cusp up there, but yeah. Today we're going to be looking at the book of James. James helps us look at some things in the Bible. James is a lot about how to live out life. It talks about prayer. It talks about trials and tribulations and temptation. It talks about favoritism. It talks about a lot of things. But today we're going to talk about one of the things that is the hardest thing to do, and that is controlling our tongue. Man, controlling what we have right in the middle of our face, right in the middle of our head, that thing, it gets caught up. Have you ever said something that you wish you've never said? Yeah. Have you ever had someone, as you were riding in the back of the car as a child, a person in front of the car would say, "Don't make me reach back around. Don't make me lean back there. I can do it." Why is that happening? Because somebody is usually saying something that they shouldn't say. Or maybe it was you that were saying, "Don't you think I can't reach back there?" And we find ourselves all the way from childhood, we find ourselves getting in trouble because of what's on our face. It is our mouth. And it's amazing how we can lift up people and how we can tear down people. So we're going to look at the book of James in chapter 3 today. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn there. And I want to pray, and we'll begin. Father, Lord, thank you again for this opportunity to break into your word. We thank you for this. And we ask that you'd open our hearts and our minds to hear your word today and take it in Christ's name. Amen. So we see here, even as a child or even as adults, we struggle with our mouth. We struggle. We say things. But we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "Not many should be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will receive a stricter judgment." Those who teach and preach, we are under a stricter judgment because we are expected to what comes out of our mouth to be truth. It's expected to come out in the right way. It's supposed to come out with love. It's supposed to come out when we teach about the Bible, we preach on the Bible. It should be truth. It should be the truth. And so those who speak know that that teach know that there is a stricter judgment. Now that does not mean that should cause you not to teach. If you have that and God calls you and moves you, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to run from that. No, it just is a reminder that what you're getting ready to do does have a stricter judgment on it. But he moves on. He says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, also be able to control the whole body. Now, if we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we direct their whole bodies. And consider ships, though very large and driven by fierce winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs." It is an amazing thing how we can control things, big or small, even less animals, but we struggle in controlling our mouth. We have problems with this. We have a lot of problems with that. But everybody stumbles. And we find here that the scripture tells us that if we can control our mouth and speak, wait sometimes before we speak and think about it, that we become more mature. And that immature piece is coming directly what comes out of our mouth very quickly without thinking about it. Moving along, verse 5, "So too, though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts of great things. Consider how small a fire blaze in a large forest. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue, a world of unrighteousness, is placed among our members. It stains the whole body and sets the course of life on fire." Here's where we find out that this is the part of the body. I think it's even has more. We have more potential to fail in the area of our mouth than we do even our ears and our eyes and even our hands and feet. Because it's, because the mouth, what we put, what we say, we cannot put back in. Once we say it, it's already out. How we say it, we can't change it. So the tongue is a world, it's just being a piece of unrighteousness that's on us, because we're all born into sin. And we have, there's something that we have to learn to control, and it's hard. And we find people putting things out on, I mean, even people put things, I've seen things that people put things on, they'll type something up and they'll put some words, and sometimes it's not being said by words of, like, verbally, but when you type it out, it becomes verbal in a sense. But even what people say about other people on Facebook or on the internet can really tear people up. People have done that stuff to churches too, not just our church, but a lot of churches. People get upset, they say some things, and I'm going to tell you, it's a very difficult thing to control sometimes is our mouth. But Scripture does tell us in Matthew 12, he says, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless word they speak. Every careless word we speak, every word we speak, God, even though we say it in private and we say it in secret, God hears it loud and clear. The words we speak are very important. They should be positive, but we see that here it causes a big raging fire. There's an issue here. It causes problems. Verse 7, every kind of animal, bird, and reptile, and fish is tamed and has been tamed by humankind. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we bless the Lord, the Father, and with it we curse people who are made in God's likeness. And blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth. He says, brothers and sisters, these things should not be the way. So we find that we are struggling. We can tame animals, but we struggle taming our own mouths. We struggle with it. The mouth is a hard piece to control. But here we find that it is a piece. Just from our mouth comes lies and poison, gossip, and those kind of things. With our mouth, we can find a peace. It's just, it is amazing what we see on the news today. It's amazing what people say about what other people. It's just, it's very difficult. And our tongue has become a poison piece. Proverbs 16:28 says, a contract person spreads conflict, and a gossip separates friends. Some things that the mouth does, it does to destroy things and puts things down, is number one, as I believe, is gossip is one of the worst. Gossiping is one of the worst. It comes from someone's mouth and it goes to another person and they begin to share some things, and it does, all gossip does is destroy. Slander, slandering people, that's what we see on the internet all the time. Slandering people. God doesn't want us to be that way, but slandering people. But the sad part of it is we are praising God with our voice, and 10 minutes later we're slandering someone in the church, or we're slandering someone and it's not what God wants. We put down others and we speak negatively. Negative speaking doesn't get you anywhere. We curse at people, and we curse at people. And even the fact, it's just, you know, it's amazing, because I've seen a few years back, just pulling out of the church parking lot, and I've seen a person driving, and they didn't use their voice, but they used their middle finger and flipped off someone that cut in front of them, right, 2 blocks from the church, right after a service. I'm telling you, we struggle with the tongue. Basically, that person was trying to say something, knew they couldn't hear it, but they knew they could see it. Cursing at people, yelling, screaming, threatening, putting down people, being abusive with our words to one another. This is why families are split, families struggle, there's abuse, there's yelling, screaming, just always putting down one another. It's hurtful words for love, ones that you love and people that you don't like very much. We just hurt people with them all the time, and so we become what God doesn't want us to become. And words of rebellion, and children act out and speak out in ways, and so do adults. And so we don't like what we hear, so we're going to say something back. We don't like what we see, we feel like we have the right to say something back. Aren't we glad that Jesus didn't say something back? Silence can be just as damaging as words can be. God's given us a voice to speak out, not talking ever again. I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm not ever talking to you again. Silence, not speaking. You're hurting the people that are trying to communicate with you. That silence treatment is not godly treatment. These are things that hurt relationships. This is what hurts churches. This is what hurts families. We need to be more forgiving. The tongue could be a beautiful thing, but we've turned it, we battle with it on a continuous basis. We've all said things that we shouldn't have said. But as we get older, we should be more mature. Amen. For you that are older, we all should be thinking more, right? Let's look at some things. Our tongue should be a blessing. The tongue can bring damage to people, but we also know the tongue can be an encouraging peace. We that have the Holy Spirit inside of us, that have that relationship with Christ, we know that we are not the same, but that we are different now, that we should be an encouraging people. Don't talk about me behind my back. Don't talk about your neighbor behind your back. Don't talk about your friends in the church behind their back. That is sinful. There is one thing talking things when you're trying to be an encouragement, trying to figure out an issue, trying to figure out something. The Holy Spirit will speak to you and tell you, what are you doing? You shouldn't be talking like that. But we should be talking in a way of encouragement. Our words, our mouths should be lifting up others and building up on one another, not tearing down. Amen? We should be lifting up one another. The words that come out of our mouth should be the truth. And sometimes you have to speak the truth in love. And that's hard sometimes. It's easier sometimes to tell a lie, but we should speak the truth. Because the truth tells us, but speaking the truth in love, let us grow every way into Him who is the head, which is Christ. Ephesians tells us, but speaking the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Even though sometimes speaking the truth is hard. Sometimes speaking the truth is hard. Words of love is what the Lord wants. Comes out of the words should be joy and happiness. Sometimes we're not as joyful and happy as we should be because the words that are coming out of our mouths are not godly. They are not inspired by the Lord. They're not inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they're inspired by our inner selfishness and our sinful life. Words that come out of our mouth should be what we were doing just 30 minutes ago, praising the Lord. Singing and worshiping God. That's what God wants to hear. Sing and worship with a beautiful tone in your voice the best you can. And teach the truth. Our words should be teaching the truth. Words that come out of our mouths should be speaking words of wisdom. And not unrighteousness, but righteousness. Which is Christ-like living. Christ-like words that should come. And our character, we should be a cheerleader to others. And it should be good. Cheerleaders should be good, encouraging one another in what we're doing, what we're supposed to be doing. Families are torn apart because of the words we speak to one another. Anytime you see an argument, usually words are involved in it. We tear down the spouses, we tear down the spouse who we said we would love you, do better or worse. And that we tear him down. We say things to our children that we should never say. Our children are never losers. We should never be ashamed of our children. We should just hurt for our children and speak truth and encourage them. The family should be strong when it comes to words. That we encourage one another in our family. That we pray for one another in our family. That we lift up each other in our family. That when one's hurting, we're all hurting. When one is rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. And we share those things. But it's not just our immediate family, it's also our church family, it's also our friends and family. Listen, the world out there, if you really look at the world, most people don't even have but one, maybe a friend or two. But in the believer, in God's house, we should have lots of family, lots of friends. And we should be speaking positively toward one another. We should speak positively toward one another. A lot of people said a lot of negative things to Jesus. A lot of them said it to His face. But Jesus would always reflect it and turn it. There were times when He did call some of the priests vipers. You know what that is? That's that stricter judgment. Because they were supposed to be teaching. But the people, when the people were messing up and they would say ugly things, He would love them back. He would continue to love them back. He said, no, not forgive them, Father, for you know not what they do. He was always forgiving, always showing compassion, even when the rest of the world would not say positive words. He continued to love. So how do we work and how do we control the tongue? What are the things that we should be doing? I want you to turn over really quickly here to Proverbs. There's three things I want to help you with today. Number one, we need to watch our tone. Okay, it's one thing to learn about that we need to control our mouth. But Scripture tells us we need to watch our tone. You know what that means? You need to watch how you say things. Watch how you say things. Well, I'm just going to say what I'm going to say because that's just my personality. Well, it's not always about you, amen? Right? It shouldn't always be about you. God wants us to watch our tone. Because sometimes when we speak in an ugly tone. And people's defenses go up. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away anger. But a harsh word stirs up wrath. Well, that's just a fact, isn't it? You want to get loud with somebody? You want to argue with somebody? And they start arguing back? Then all of a sudden it gets heated up. Now, many times when someone gets heated up and you turn it with a smaller voice and you get gentle, you use a different tone. Many times that this is why police officers are trained. I know that. They are trained. When people get loud and they start swearing, police officers are trained to try to calm the situation down and use a small voice until they can't use it that. They have to do what they got to do. But so many times people take a lot. Maybe you in your relationship or you and your family are the one that says, yeah, that's what I do. I'm the gentle one. I'm the one who uses lower voice, whatever. I use a different a tone in my voice or whatever. It's okay. It's okay. But we need to watch our tone on how we speak. The Bible tells us, watch your tone. Number two, we need to think before we speak. How many of y'all put your foot in your mouth? And then you put your foot in your mouth again. We put our feet in our mouth. We do that on a continuous basis because we're so worried about... Here's the problem. We zone out what somebody says in front of us. Okay, this is the guy thing. I have a tendency to do it too. You're already thinking about what you want to say and you're not listening to the person who's talking to you. The Pharisees did it all the time. They missed what Jesus was talking about all the time. But we sit here and we put our foot in our mouth because we don't think before we speak. And we say, and this is where we find out these ugly things that we say, they come out. And let me tell you, words, the old sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never harm you. Listen, words have done a whole lot more damage than sticks and stones. Words just tear that negative and ugly and hateful words just tear people down. They demoralize people. They bring people down. And listen, some of you were brought up with parents that just did nothing but yell and scream. But I want to tell you, you don't have to take it into your relationship. You don't have to take it into your marriage. You don't have to take it into your family. You don't have to raise your kids like that. You say, but this is how I was raised. Let me tell you, this is where you have to say, I could do more in Christ. I can do it in Christ. I can do this thing. I can do it because God is inside. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. And you can do that. You can change that for the next generation, the one that you're in. Some of you have been verbally abused. And God doesn't want that. It's unfortunate that you've had that. Nothing's worse than a father who tells his son, you're worthless. Nothing is worse than telling a daughter, you're ugly. Listen, the biggest cheerleaders in your family should be you as a parent. Now, I'm not telling you that every kid's going to be an NFL player. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about you in life. You should be their cheerleader. You should be their cheerleader. So we got to think before we speak. Number three. Sometimes we don't need to be silent. But sometimes we do. Sometimes we just need to put a lock on it and throw that key away for about 10 minutes. Sometimes we do need to zip it up, especially young people. There's no room for arguing with your parents. You have disagreements on things, but there is no excuse for a child to yell at, a teen to be yelling at their parents. The Bible says to honor your father and your mother. And that comes with a promise. But sometimes we just need to be silent. In Proverbs 17:28, it says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps silent, discerning, when he seals his lips. Zip it. Because really, when it comes down to it, what is an argument? Most of the time it's this: I'm right and you're wrong. Listen to me because you're wrong. You don't know, but I know. I'm right. If you don't agree with me, you're going to make me mad. Because I'm right and you're wrong. And then the argument keeps going. But what is beautiful about, even with the arguments, is that there is a way out. 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 The abusive language that people use can be very ugly and destructive. The abusive things that people say can destroy the spirit of a child, but also can destroy the spirit of a spouse or a family member, or even the church. I've seen and heard a few churches recently where they were going through some decisions in the church. And it was the voices, the ones that were the negative, were the loudest. The ones that were negative were the loudest. Why don't we always listen to the loudest voice? And many times, because they think if you're the loudest, then you're going to listen to me. You have to listen to me. Speaking it out. Sometimes people do it in anger and hatefulness. And even in the churches, they've had votes for all kinds of things and disagreements. And sometimes they've been okay and they've been able to disagree and to agree to disagree. And the church moves in a direction and they are fine. But when bitterness and strife move in, words of ugliness behind closed doors and parking lots and cars and other places, when people begin to butcher other people and people begin to butcher the church and things like that, God takes that and He knows what's going on there. And usually there's some discipline that God does in that church. And sometimes churches aren't able to buy the building that they need to buy. Sometimes the church is not able to go into a ministry that God wants them to go because people were negative. I believe the way out truly is this. One, there are some steps to get out of that. And one of that is to always pray and never cease praying. Always keep praying. But you need to be careful how you pray. You need to be praying for the one that's being abusive. Pray for the one that's speaking, that God would have mercy on that person, that God would move in that person, not say, Lord, Lord, I want you to be with my wife. I want you to change her views. I want you to change this. That don't work. Lord, I want you to change my husband. I want you to... No, you pray a different prayer. You pray, Lord, have mercy on them. Lord, work with them. I love them. Help them, Lord, through their words are cutting. Their words have hurt me so much, but I pray for them and I lift them up. And you lift them up through prayer. Another piece, I think, is always to take a few moments, a few seconds, and think about what you're ready to say in response to something. Because remember, what you say, you cannot put back. You cannot take it back. You can apologize for it down the road, but it will always been out there. Once it's said, it is said. And that's what I love about God's Word. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's said, it's done. Today, I need to make sure, as I've looked and studied through this, I need to make sure that I watch my tone on how I speak to people. Because that person that I'm talking to is a creation of God. They are a believer in God. Even if they're not, they're a person who needs to see the character of God. They need to see the things of God, and they see that in believers. And so what we see is that we need to watch our tone. Number two, we need to think before we speak. We need to think before we speak. Because the next few moments can change everything. The next few moments can change everything. And number three is sometimes we just need to be silent. I think as a believer, we need to learn to have some rhino skin. Take a few cuts, it's okay. You don't always have to defend yourself, amen? You don't always have to defend yourself. Plead for the people. Pray for the people. And if it's you on the other end that's giving it, you need to take a step back. You need to know that the way you're speaking to people is hurting people. You need to know that the words you're speaking is discouraging people. And people look up to one another. Instead of encouraging, sometimes leaders are discouraging. So if that's you today, you need to ask the Lord to give you strength to stop. Stop speaking that way to others. And to give you a new spirit. The way out is to get before the Lord and confess, Lord, I need to watch my mouth. I've really thought about it, Lord. I'm speaking more discouraging words than I am encouraging words. I complain to you more about it than I'm praising you. And maybe we need to pray about how we've raised our children. Now maybe we've spoke more negative to them, and we need to work on that. That we need to say, Lord, help me work more with my children today, as maybe they may be adult children, but also my grandchildren. You need to pray for them and to speak more highly of them. I believe that as long as we're living on this earth, God continues to reuse us. Given us the opportunity to fix it, but not fix it on our own, but to fix it with Him. And to watch the thing that's on our face is our mouth. It gets us in so much trouble. It gets us in so much trouble. Nothing gets us more in trouble than our mouth. We say things we shouldn't say. We speak things we shouldn't speak. And close with this. When we go into the courtroom, the person goes up to the witness stands and they ask him to do an oath. You solemnly agree, swear before, give the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. Many of them put them on the Bible and they say, yes, I promise under oath that I will tell the truth. Isn't it amazing that we have to do that? What that says is we know we lie.